James.
Yes, Cody.
We are less than 2 weeks away from when we will be sitting our butts down in Heinz Field watching the Steelers practice.
Can't wait!
Looking forward to it.
Welcome to the Steelers But I Like podcast. My name is James, joined once again by my co-host Cody. Cody, it's nice to see you.
Thanks, James. It is nice to see you too. Listen, this is like, what, twice in 1 week now?
That's right, man.
Because we did see you the other night. We just weren't able to record the podcast. But we did see you the other night. We had some delicious sandwiches.
Yeah, if you haven't had Picasso's in Erie, Pennsylvania, I highly recommend it.
Try the Da Vinci. It was phenomenal, to say the least. It was Italian sausage, cheese, ravioli with Alfredo sauce on basically the most perfect pieces of toast you could imagine.
Yeah.
It was wild.
Pressed in a panini press. I mean, come on, man. These guys are truly artists of the sandwich.
I will be going to get one again sometime. I just don't know when, but sometime.
We'll make it happen.
Maybe for a lunch break sometime when we're working together.
There we go, buddy. Yeah, that's right. We made it happen. Cody's going to be working with me now.
Again. This is like technically the third time, because I would count this as work.
Yeah.
The podcast is a work. It's a job for us. It's an enjoyable job.
It's more fun for us than it is work, but
it's still work. We're putting in the work to make sure you guys are informed, and we bring you guys good episodes and good content. So it's work, but it's fun. It's enjoyable work.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. If I had this much fun at the real job, look out.
You're telling me you don't?
Listen.
Maybe I shouldn't accept the offer.
I am known for being the guy that's joking around and having a good time.
That's fair.
So
I'll have to take that from you. Give me a couple of weeks.
Yeah, once the stress of the new job goes away.
Yeah, that.
So anyway, speaking of stress, 90 men all fighting for the same 52 jobs. That's kind of what's going on in training camp right now.
Yeah, even one person who's fighting for one job is fighting for another, apparently. Stephon Tuitt's trying to throw some balls.
Yeah, man. He's got an arm.
Apparently. A little underthrown.
Maybe him and PH3 battling for the number three quarterback spot.
Yeah, you never know. Get out of here with that, though. Maybe number four. Him and Josh Dobbs can go at it for number four.
Oh, stop.
Listen, I'm just speaking facts.
I'm glad that you have finally given into the fact that Mason Rudolph's the number two.
No. Okay, let me clarify. I've given into the fact of that. I don't agree with said fact.
Oh, you like guys that can't complete a ball?
Dwayne Haskins has completed passes. Like just look at Alex Cazor's entire list of things.
Yeah.
We're going to go see him complete a touchdown when we go down, I'm telling you. It's going to happen.
He better. He's going to have like 800 attempts.
That's not true. That'll be closer to... that'll be after the start of preseason. And they'll probably be having Ben be more involved and Mason and maybe, you know, to it. And you never know. Never know.
So we're going to catch you up with things since the last podcast. Been a little over a week. Normally we get you every week here. But most recently the news we had was the signing of Melvin Ingram.
Yep.
We have since learned that that was a 1 year, $4 million contract. Oh, but wait. They put in the false years. So it actually only counts a little bit over $1 million against the cap, which is great. It's got those voidable years on it, which helps out and really doesn't create much dead cap space the next couple of years. It's only like $1 million each year.
I was impressed that he took that deal.
Yeah.
That was actually – I mean, he said he likes the environment of Pittsburgh. He likes the environment of the organization, and so that makes sense as to why he would take a pay cut.
Yeah, and
I don't think anyone else would have offered him a lot more than that, but he could have probably got paid more somewhere else.
Yeah, and there's, I mean, how many teams are looking for a starting outside linebacker right now, too? You know, so it's where can you fit in that you're going to get some playing time and people are going to use you the way you're best used in Pittsburgh? We'll use them that way. No doubt about that. What do you think about with them choosing jersey number 8?
I like it. I liked it before, kind of. I don't know. I'm still getting used to these new numbers that players are allowed to choose from. And this was a number that I kind of already assumed the reason why, because people have been doing it in different sports for the last couple, almost a year now. It makes sense. He's a huge Kobe fan. And Kobe, when he was first in the league with the Lakers, wore number 8. And it was the same reason why when he was in San Diego... Wait, yeah. No. Yeah, San Diego, Melvin.
Slash
Los Angeles. Yeah, that's where I got confused again.
In the later years.
That's why he chose 44, was because 4 plus 4 equals 8. So it was all Kobe, all the time, black Mamba mentality.
That's right, man. I like having guys on the team with that Mamba mentality.
We need more of them.
Yes.
Hopefully on the offensive line. Yeah. So we can see the nasty.
Speaking of offensive line, when this whole thing went down, of course, there were some transactions to clear spaces. So you had him signed. They also signed offensive tackle Chaz Green, who was a former third-round pick. And then the Steelers, of course, had to release a couple guys to make room. Offensive tackle Jaron Jones and linebacker Calvin Bundage were the two released. Jaron Jones hit the news a few times in the course of the last year, and never for anything good.
Nope.
Last year, he was the practice squad offensive lineman who was accused of throwing an entire Xbox console, not the controller, the whole console, at his significant other and striking her with it, which is real bad.
That will lead to some things, yeah, including potential jail time.
Yeah. Again, had a new, fresh charge on him this offseason. And my guess is the only reason Pittsburgh did not release him earlier is because they probably did a little research on their own, found some things they didn't like, and said, hit the road, Jack. And don't you come back.
Nope.
No more, no more.
And so that, stop. And so that makes sense. So that makes sense when you look at it. And this is a lot of the time, sometimes you can look at signings and releasings and see something different. Like if they sign, you know, say an offensive tackle, but then they like with the same timing, they release a defensive lineman or something or a cornerback, you can kind of tell where you might be hearing about a new injury or whatever.
Yep.
So there's nothing to be concerned about here because it was one for one.
Yep.
You sign an offensive lineman, remove an offensive lineman. You sign a defensive linebacker, and you release get rid of a defensive linebacker.
Yep.
Now, with that being said, something else happened after that. Vince Williams announced his retirement. So, again, linebacker for linebacker. We saw no quicker than they did they release Calvin Bundage, they re-signed him again to a new deal. So Calvin Bundage went from being released to signed again very, very quickly.
I think it was a matter of like a day or two.
Probably a couple hours for him behind the scenes. Yeah, probably a couple hours. So
yeah, most likely they told him, hey, don't go anywhere. Vince is retiring and we're just going to re-sign you.
Yeah, because you got to think, even if they knew all that was happening, you still have, you can't just sit on a guy, have an extra roster position signed for a day because it's just against the rules.
Yeah.
So he probably knew. I would imagine he knew.
Yeah, because there were people hinting at it online for a few days beforehand. Terrence Garvin, former middle linebacker for the Steelers, you may remember him as the gentleman who broke the Cincinnati Bengals punter's jaw in a punt play where he blocked him. And yeah.
Every time I think of Cincinnati Bengals and jaw, I only think of Hines Ward and Keith River.
Yep. Yeah, there's a part two.
There is.
Did that to the punter, too, though. It was Terrence Garvin, who is probably the skinniest middle linebacker I've ever seen in my life, honestly.
I'll have to look him up.
He was very, very thin, but, you know, still a skinny middle linebacker against the punter usually does not go well for the punter. It did not in that case. I don't believe he's been in the league for a few years now.
Makes sense.
But he was insinuating that he knew about this previous to it happening by a couple days.
Fair enough. Now, speaking of people who aren't skinny, going back to offensive linemen, finally, Kendrick Green signed his rookie deal, was the last rookie. Now all the rookies that we drafted in the draft are signed to their rookie deals.
This is significant because, well, it was going to happen eventually. I'm not going to try to pretend that this is some crazy awesome thing.
Nope.
It was going to happen. He was going to sign. We all knew it. Whatever the final terms were. No one will ever really know whether or not he got that extra $5,000 he was looking for or whatever that was.
Yeah.
But regardless, he signed. Now it's off to business for him. In business is that he has been named the official starter for the first preseason game by Coach Mike Tomlin.
Which is technically our extra preseason game being the Hall of Fame game, which is coming up here just a week from this upcoming Saturday.
It's a Thursday. It's a Thursday.
Yeah, this coming. Oh.
Yeah.
Wow. It's the 5th, correct?
Sounds right. Yeah, the 5th.
Yeah, the 5th of August, we will be playing live. So be looking forward to that. James and I will more than likely get together for that game. I can't imagine we wouldn't. So keep an eyes, ears open for that. Maybe we live tweet it, or maybe we go live on video, or whatever we decide to do. We'll try to get that information out to you via Twitter or Instagram or both sometime later this week. So I'm sure that we will be watching that game together, taking some notes and seeing what Pittsburgh has in store.
Absolutely. Going to be a really fun game to watch. I'm just really excited to see some Steeler football again. But, man, I love watching rookies play. I love watching those bottom-of-the-roster guys to see who sticks out. You know, there's always some guys. There's always your Mike Hilton types that come out of nowhere and end up playing significant roles. And even on the offensive line, I mean, how many years you got, like, your Ramon Foster, who was undrafted, played a significant role as a starter for many years. Villanueva, somebody that was just a project. This year they've got Rashad Coward as a project being converted from defensive line to offensive line. And in the corner position, you could see multiple undrafted guys make significant playing time and possibilities with, like, Shakur Brown and Marcus Gilbert. There's a lot of names. Even James Pierre. He was on the team last year, but he's an undrafted guy. Has a real chance to prove himself this year and should get significant snaps in the preseason.
Yeah, and speaking, you brought up Mike Hilton. Speaking of Mike Hilton, Antoine Brooks Jr. says that he learned a lot from Mike Hilton, and he can replace him for the Steelers. That's what he said. And Mike Tomlin even announced that Antoine Brooks Jr. is going to play the slot in preseason. And so he's going to have his opportunity to show that.
And also it is being reported that he's down a significant amount of weight too, which he came out as a strong safety at about 220 pounds on a 5'11 frame. So you got to figure he's probably in that 205, 210 range now, which can only help him as far as short area quickness, long speed, all that stuff. And he's still, even whatever weight he lost, going to be a bigger, stronger individual than Mike Hilton was.
Yeah. I mean, and as far as day one of OTAs, he already picked off Ben Roethlisberger once, which is impressive for someone with, you know, that little amount of practice on field in the NFL. He already picked off Ben in practice once.
Yeah, and Ben commented on how nice it was. Said it was a slingshot move. I'm not really sure what that means, but
my guess is he came from behind someone.
Yeah, and kind of came right around him.
Yep. Yep, that would be my guess. I'm, like, thinking of, like, NASCAR moves.
Yeah, man. Shake and bake.
Mm-hmm. He shook and he baked.
Because we're going to shake.
And then bake.
Yeah. Anyway.
I wanted to wait for it.
You have to. It's for effect, okay? So the depth chart, Pittsburgh Steelers depth chart, was released this week. Some significant things on here. Some things that really you shouldn't look too far into. Like, say, for example, Najee Harris being listed as the number one running back.
No surprise there. If you drafted him in the first round, he wasn't starting, I'd be a little upset.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, if you don't have him starting after being your first round pick, something isn't going on very well. In the running back room, Najee Harris, of course. Benny Snell behind him, and then Anthony McFarland Jr. is listed as the third, with Samuels behind him and Kalen Ballage in behind him. Now, rumor is Ballage is doing very well in backs-on-backers drills, probably the best of any of the running backs right now.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing that surprised me out of that entire depth chart position was Jalen Samuels still being ahead of Ballage. I think Ballage, just from what I've seen him play, is a by far superior player than Jalen Samuels. And again, that's not hating on Samuels. Samuels just hasn't done anything for us. I mean, he's even had the mental checkouts where we talked about last season when the plays running to his side, his mouth guard's not even in. He just gave the entire defense the hint that, hey, the play's not going this way.
Yeah.
I remember how upset James was about that. And James said, James said, I wouldn't put him in again for the rest of the year or the rest of the game, whatever he said. And so I think that's the most shocking thing to me. Najee Harris being one, Benny Snell number two, and McFarland number three. None of that shocks me.
And Anthony McFarland reporting that he's about 5 pounds heavier than last year, which is good, because his playing weight was rumored to be 193 last year. That's a little bit light for a running back. So let's get him up closer to 200, maybe past 200 next year, and we'll see where it goes from there. But you want to see him have the appropriate size needed Because if you're going to be a running back, you are going to be asked to pick up blitzing linebackers. That's tough to do if you're under 200 pounds. A little bit easier if you're over 200. So he's getting there.
He is getting there.
He's a couple more Picasso sandwiches.
Just a few. Another note on the offensive side of the ball with the depth chart being released. J.C. Hassenhauer is on the depth chart as the starting center. I think all that means is, you know, Kendrick Green isn't getting the job given to him. And with even with Mike Tomlin saying that he's going to start the first Hall of Fame game, that's not saying he's been running with the number ones. That's just simply saying, hey, I want to see what you can do under the actual pressure of an NFL game. It's going to be a primetime game, so if I remember correctly, because it's the Hall of Fame game. So he's going to have to show that he can play with the big boys.
Yeah, and should have plenty of opportunity. J.C. Hassenhauer did go down in practice day one with a knee injury. Doesn't appear to be too bad. He does appear to be wearing a sleeve and kind of returning to practice a bit, but not actually participating in team drills quite yet. So Kendrick's going to get his opportunity, and it'll be very interesting to see where this goes from here. I think, honestly, it's just Pittsburgh doing their normal, hey, you're going to have to earn it rookie routine.
Yeah.
Which they typically do at most positions. But again, like we said with Najee Harris, you don't bother playing that game because everybody already knows he's the starter.
Yep.
So past that, no real big surprises. The wide receivers played out as expected. Quarterbacks Ben Mason, then Dwayne Haskins, kind of as expected there as well. At this point, you got to figure Pittsburgh feels like they know what they have with Josh Dobbs, so you're not going to waste a lot of reps with him. He'll get some playing time here and there, but I would assume that the majority of it will be between Mason Rudolph and Dwayne Haskins because they're looked more at as the guys with the higher possibility potential being higher draft picks.
Yeah, and starters potentially when Ben decides to retire.
Yeah, and in the past they've been starters as well, so got to give them a shot there. Eric Ebron, then Pat Freiermuth. Zach Gentry listed as the three with Kevin Rader as the four. Dax Raymond is the five. We're hearing some good things on Gentry as far as receiving in camp. He's having some nice catches, and at a 6'8" frame, you should be able to win those jump balls. So
yep,
good to hear that he is winning enough of those to at least turn some heads. If he can put some blocking together too, well, then maybe they start using him in goal line. He's a big enough guy.
Oh, absolutely.
Just got to put it together. Got to put it together. Yeah. Seems as though Rashad Coward getting a lot of snaps at left guard while Kevin Dotson is overcoming a brief injury. He's been kind of working out with the trainers on the sidelines and going through like one-on-one drills, not as far as contact drills, but like team versus air kind of stuff. But nothing serious going on there as far as anyone can tell. And then Zach Banner not getting involved in any contact drills quite yet either.
Yeah, the last thing you want is a guy to coming back from a knee injury like the one that he suffered and then get them injured again in preseason or OTAs or whatever, training camp. So I don't mind the Zach Banner not taking snaps.
Me either. One thing I heard that I don't have written on my notes here, so I didn't get to tell you about this pre-show. Dan Moore Jr. getting a reputation in practice for bringing the nasty.
Yeah, getting in fights.
Yes, including with Cam Hayward.
Impressive. That is the word I will use for that.
I would call it dumb, but
it's impressive.
That's ballsy, man.
That's very true.
You're gonna go.
It's impressive for the
dude.
Well, that's what I guess ballsy, yeah. Impressive, whatever. Impressive of the ballsiness is what I would say. Then is my better definition of how I feel about it. Not the smartest idea, but also that chippiness when it's done
within the rules.
Yeah, within the bounds of the game. It, to me, I would rather them do that than see no passion at a camp.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I would rather they get
I didn't hear fists being thrown.
Yeah, neither did I.
So I think I think that's why I don't mind that.
Yeah, and to me, I'd rather they get a penalty once in a while for blocking after the whistle than continuing to see a running back get pushed back by four or five defenders and offensive linemen just watch it. I think if you got a guy that's that feisty, he's never going to watch that happen. He's going to join in and try to help his teammate out. So that is the kind of thing that we're looking for sure. On the defensive side here, We've got some stuff going on with the depth chart here. Normal as far as the starters, second team D line. They're showing Henry Mondo with Isaiah Bugs as the second team nose and Wormley as the other second team D end, with Loudermilk and Calvin Taylor at third team ends, Carlos Davis third team D tackle. So kind of gives a little insight as to how things are going there. Of course, Cam Hayward, Tyson Alualu, and Stephon Tuitt, the starters. Nothing is going to change that other than injury, which we pray does not happen to any of them.
Yes, absolutely not. Going into the linebacker position, your starters are what you'd expect. TJ Watt, Devin Bush, Robert Spillane, Alex Highsmith. Backing up TJ, you have Cassius Marsh, who is not surprisingly in front of Quincy Roche, but I think Quincy Roche may have a better upside, but he'll still have to fight for that number two position.
He's got to earn it, man.
100%. Same thing with Buddy Johnson. Buddy Johnson is actually sitting behind Ulysses Gilbert, the third, and technically even Marcus Allen. Both those guys are second string interior or interior linebacker positions. And then you have TJ Scales and Jarvis Miller finishing the interior linebacker position. And then that right outside linebacker position, you have Alex Highsmith and Melvin Ingram, the third. Jameer Jones being still third string. So,
Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see how the playing time is divided up. TJ Watt hasn't been asked to do much in practice, which, again, why would you? You already know what you have in him.
Yeah.
So he's not being tested too much. Devin Bush does appear to be participating a lot in full team activities.
Getting scored on.
Which is great.
He's getting scored on.
Well, yeah, that's going to happen, though.
Najee Harris scored on him.
Yeah, so did Pat Freiermuth. but more importantly, I want to see him out there because that shows that he's healed up from the ACL injury.
100%.
Also, I don't know if it was day two or day three, but worth noting, Robert Spillane's got a pick six already on the practice of the year.
Good.
Against Mason Rudolph.
No surprise.
Stop it!
I'm just saying what I say.
Listen, it's more speaking to the skill level of Robert Spillane being so high.
That is fair. That is sure. We'll go with that. Moving on.
Corners. Let's talk corners.
Let's talk corners. So we're not gonna talk about nickel right away. We're gonna go just with the starters. So you have Joe Hayden, Cam Sutton being the two starters.
Yeah.
Steven Nelson was recently signed by another team, so don't expect to see him back in a Steelers uniform anytime soon.
Yeah, also Malik Hooker signed by another team, so yep. He ain't coming to Pittsburgh either.
Nope. Justin Lane and James Pierre are your backups. And then you get into Mark Gilbert, DeMarcus Acy, Stephen Denmark, and Shakir Brown. I think shockingly to me, the most shocking thing is the Shakir Brown. I kind of expected him to be third. When you see the amount of names there, I kind of expected him to be third string. But again, not surprised. That's an undrafted guy technically, even though we thought for sure he could have gone in the draft. But that's how the cornerback position stacks up. And then you have the nickel position, which is very interesting. We've talked about it a little bit.
Yeah, with Antoine Brooks slated as the starter, Arthur Maulet behind him, with Mike Tomlin giving him some praise from practices thus far. Both of them, really. But honestly, I was kind of surprised to not see Shakir Brown listed behind the two of them.
Yeah.
You know, with Arthur Maulet having nickel experience with the Jets the last couple years, and Brooks being touted so highly as a possible nickel starter for them this year, still, I kind of expected that's what Shakir Brown kind of looks like he would translate to. We'll see what he plays. I wouldn't be surprised if he plays nickel in the preseason game against the Cowboys, because everybody's going to play in that game. A lot of starters will not play. So we'll see how that does play out. And then the safeties, we've got Minka and Terrell, of course, starting. Trey Norwood at the number one backup free safety.
Which was a big question of whether or not we'd use him as corner or safety. So him not being in that cornerback talk makes sense as to why he's there.
Yep, and big day in practice for him today, Thursday this is.
Yeah.
Two picks.
Two of them. I don't know who they were on, but two no matter what.
We'll figure out who they're from.
We'll find the information.
Alex will tell us.
Alex Kozora. Shout out to
you. He knows all.
He does.
It's incredible. If you've never checked out his work,
impressive.
Wow. He charts every single play from practice, and he's at every practice.
crazy.
Incredible, that man.
We'll be hitting him up when we go down.
Yeah, for absolutely.
Sure. For sure.
Miles Killebrew listed as the backup strong safety, which we weren't sure if he was going to be linebacker or safety.
Yeah, another guy that we're kind of getting, just with this depth chart release, we're getting some information that certain players are going to be more likely to play different positions. And the fact that both of these guys are backups, like I think that speaks a lot. And I think, sadly enough, I think that speaks more to our lack of safety depth than anything. I don't think yeah, that
a guy that might be linebacker might be safety is the number one backup strong safety.
Yes, and a guy that could have been corner, could have been safety, is the backup free safety. Both, yeah. Like, are being a rookie, I think that just speaks to our lack of depth. And then even the third string strong safety is also a rookie, Lamont Wade.
Yeah.
He's also an undrafted guy. So
yeah, and him and Donovan Steiner are listed as the third team safeties right now. So those guys should get tons of playing time in the preseason. So I definitely look forward to seeing both of them out there. Next, we've got Jesse James. He signed with the Bears. I don't know if you saw that.
I did. I wasn't happy with it, but whatever.
Me either, man. There goes that prediction.
Yeah.
Unless he gets cut. If he gets cut, then Pittsburgh can claim him.
That's true. I'd be impressed if he got cut out of the Bears. Who's their number one tight end? Exactly my point. I don't think he's getting cut.
Mark Bavaro?
But it's probably someone who's retired. I don't know who that is.
he played for the Giants back when Lawrence Taylor was there.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah. Definitely don't know who that is.
Ditka's the starting tight end.
Wow. Mike Ditka. I could never call him Michael. Michael Ditka. I don't like the sound of that.
No, it sounds
also
awful.
Just to touch on a couple other things real quick. Jordan Berry is still listed as the number one punter over Presley Harvin III.
Boo!
Shocking. That is actually shocking.
Nah,
and then obviously Chris. Yeah, they will. Chris Boswell.
For president.
For president. But then over Sam Sloman. And then you have Cameron Kanaday and Christian Kuntz, the long snappers. Jordan Berry and Presley Harvin III as
holders.
The placeholders.
On your field goal and extra point.
Yes. And then this is where I think it gets interesting on special teams. Kick return, punt return.
I like what
I
see.
You got Ray starting for both. I also like what you see on kick return. On punt return, you have Deontay Johnson backing up Ray. On kick return, it's Anthony McFarland Jr.
Which is significant because in kick return, that is the other person that's out there. In punt return, that backup is not on the field on a punt return. On kick return, those guys are both out there. This is something we were calling for last year. We wanted to see Anthony McFarland return kicks. They didn't let him do it. It looks like that might be in the plan to be the guy opposite Ray Ray. So if Ray Ray starts getting some nice returns, they're going to kick away from him, kick towards Anthony McFarland.
And hopefully he gets some nice returns.
That'll be a bad idea. This is a very explosive man, and I would love to see him. And I think it's going to happen this preseason, and I'm really excited about it, Cody.
I am too. And then you see the third guy there with James Pierre.
Yeah, which is significant, again, because they don't ever let corners return.
Nope. They tried it 1 year with Cam Sutton. It didn't go very well. So.
And Cam Sutton used to sneak into the lines to try to go practice it in return, and they wouldn't let him do it. Very, very fun, I think, man. Didn't think I'd be this excited about some special team stuff, but I definitely am.
No, not at all. I can tell you something that you're not going to be excited about, though. Injuries.
Yeah, never.
We do have some notable injuries. Nothing too crazy, but notable enough.
Yeah. J.C. Hassenauer, like we talked about, day-to-day on that knee injury. Doesn't look too bad. He doesn't have a brace on or anything. He has a sleeve. He's been working with the trainers. And looks like he's working his way back and participated a little bit in practice today. Eric Ebron does have an elbow injury, which did place Pat Freiermuth in the starting position today in practice.
We don't mind that.
Looks, again, day-to-day for him. Wouldn't expect him to miss too much time. But if it's still bugging him next week before that preseason game, don't look for him to play in the preseason game. Devin Bush has been a full participant thus far in practice. Good. Not so much with Zach Banner, which is interesting because Zach Banner was injured 5 weeks previous.
Yeah.
but not healed all the way. He is a bigger guy. I can see that playing into it to some extent, just being a little bit more difficult to heal up.
Yeah, or if he did one thing wrong in the time of healing, you know, one wrong step or one thing you shouldn't have done.
Just sneeze on.
Yeah, true. I mean, it's a joke, but true. Could knock you back weeks in the sense of recovery. So.
Yeah. Antoine Brooks Jr. did miss a few days worth of practice. But getting back into the swing of things, sounds like they're actually alternating now day to day between him and Arthur Mollett on who starts in the nickel. So definitely a battle there as far as who will be our starting nickel corner. And more light will be shed on this as the days go on, right?
Yeah.
Some other minimal stuff, like Anthony Coyle had a stinger one day, came back the next. You see Okorafor practicing a lot, but not in the contacts a lot. And then the same we were talking about, Kevin Dotson has a nagging injury, has not been participating in contact drills to this far. But I would expect him to see him back very soon also.
Absolutely. So that's going to wrap up this week's show. Again, we apologize for it being a little delayed. Some things came up, but we look forward to being back with you guys next Monday, and then expect a slightly shorter week as we may attempt to record a show Sunday after training camp when we're there. So we will keep you guys in the loop on that. And again, in the loop on when or how we might go live or have some communication with you guys during the preseason game this upcoming Thursday, a week from today. We can't thank you guys enough for the continued support and just the feedback we get from you guys and the constant downloads. We appreciate all of it. So again, make sure you like and subscribe on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok at Steelers by the Lake. And until next time, this is your host, James and Cody, signing off.
Peace.